Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, folks. Good morning. It is the 14th of August, 2018. Lord's not making another day like it. Honored you would join us here this morning. Man, I got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff buzzing around me. Got my blue hat on today, red shirt, trying to color coordinate here the best that I can. I'm going to get the uncomfortable stuff out of the way first, okay? Let me get this uncomfortable stuff. Last month was, it always happens in the summer. Our financial support was way down last month, way down. We just spent a lot of money where were we? In Long Island. So if you went out there and make money, no. We spent a lot of money in Long Island. And also, I want you to know that David Arthur's, we've been trying to help David Arthur as much as we can. I'm not bragging. I'm not doing anything other than telling you that we have. David Arthur's got a big schedule. He's going to go to Wisconsin twice. There's a one, whatever. David's on his way to Wisconsin. Folks, he doesn't, $20 from everybody. I'm just telling you, it would make so much difference. So much. And I give that broad appeal, and some hear me and some don't hear me. And no, we're not going broke, but you can't continue to, this is what's happened to our government. Spend more than you have coming in. You know what I'm saying? So I like to keep at least above water. So we need some financial support. Okay. There, I threw that out there. I'm done with that. Got an exciting show coming today. Well, I always say exciting. That might not be the right word. Boy, yesterday was something, wasn't it? I got several emails from people said, man, Coach, my whole life, I never thought about the bride and the body. I never thought about it. And I said, you know, that's just a great example of how we believe things that we've been taught and we don't even know why. We don't even question it. My whole life, from the time I got saved in 1988, the time I got saved, I was taught that the church was the bride of Christ. Been taught to it. Until I started to do a little bit of research. Wait a minute, how can it be the body and the bride? How can it be both? And I don't care who you are. You go to talk to somebody about the bride of Christ, and they're going to have to give you some. Listen, it is supernatural. You understand that, don't you? Supernatural. The whole Bible is a supernatural story. It's a spiritual story. It's not a physical story. It's a spiritual one. Playing out in the physical. The New Jerusalem's a spiritual thing, man. The spiritual thing. And this whole idea, when we just preach what we've been taught. Just preach what we've been taught. And you know, you can say, well, Coach Ed, then, you know, what is it they like to say? Well, let's focus on the majors and not worry about the minors. Let's agree to disagree. You know what? I actually live like that. What I'm going to tell you is I had a conversation with Pastor Mike Spalding last night. Doctrine matters, boys and girls. It matters. And we say it doesn't, but we see people break fellowship over things they don't agree with in regards to doctrine. And doctrine matters. It does matter. The truth matters. Now, I'm not going to break doctrine over the bride of Christ and body of Christ, but I've got strong feelings on it. I'm not going to break fellowship over the rapture and not the rapture. I'm not going to break fellowship over that. But I have strong beliefs about it. Well, the question we have to ask ourselves is when these things begin to pop up and these conflicts come, we have to speak the truth the way we see it. That's all I'd say. Got to do that. Jared, pull up, join us at the coming event. We sent out an email today. I don't know who's responsible for it, but they did a great job on it. And Jared, pull that up on the screen for us if you can. It's also on the website. I took Gary Pierce's advice. I can't get this thing to pop up here. There we go. Upcoming events. How about that? Do we look official now? So I'm going to go down through this stuff real slow so you can mark the dates down if we're somewhere near you. Sunday, September 9th, I'm going to be covering the pulpit for Pastor Tom Gill here at the gathering. I'm not going to go into details. We'll get all the details up there for you. But if you hear something that's close to you, you can mark it down. Friday through Sunday, September 14th through 16th, we're going to be in Texas at the Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Chad Estes at the Estes Ranch. There's information there. Wednesday, October 17th through the 20th, we're going to be in Marshfield and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. October 17th through the 20th, we'd love for you to come and join us. Information either is on our website or is coming to our website. Saturday, November 3rd, we're still working on the details. We're going to be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania for a 9-3 huddle there. Still working on those details. And Laura, if you're out there listening to us, Tanya, we'll get you on the show here in the next couple of days. I've been a little bit behind on that. Saturday, November 10th, we're going to be at a regional huddle at Rose Hill Covenant Church. George is setting that one up out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Sunday, November 11th, the next day, I'm going to be a guest speaker at the church. That's Pastor Charles Jennings Church. And we're earnestly contending for the faith. So this stuff is, it's on our website now. And I'm going to do a better job of trying to keep everything updated for everybody so you can go there and see what's going on. And there's nothing like boots on the ground, man. Ain't nothing like it. And we will update these things. And we are looking to come to a city near you. Now, listen, I'm looking for, we don't do much. We don't do a whole lot from November through December. Holidays, it's just a waste of time. You can't draw a crowd. Everybody's got their head stuck in the Christmas tree and all that. So we do ministry, but you get what I'm saying. But after that, January, February, March, we're ready to roll. But here's the problem. You don't know about the weather here in Ohio. You don't know up here in the Midwest. You know, a snowstorm can blow in, an ice storm can blow in. You don't know. So we are looking during January, February, and March. We want to go south. We'd love to come south. We'd love to do an event down in the Florida region. We'd love to do another event down in the Texas region. Wherever the weather is warm, we would love to come down there and gather with those folks. North Carolina, I assume it stays warm down in there. So if you're listening right now and you say, well, what can I do? Well, you can do a lot. You can do a lot. Listen, folks, at some point you're going to have to step out of the boat. Right where you live, right where life is going on, right where you are, you're going to have to step out and make a difference. You just can't continue to come and watch the show and not have any investment in it. And by investment, I'm talking financial support for us to help David Arthur to get around, help me get around, help get guys into New York. You got to have some skin in the game, okay? Spiritual welfare. Y'all got cable TV, I bet. Bet y'all pay that cable bill every month, and I bet it's more than $20. And then the second thing is, you're going to have to get some skin in the game and step out and say, okay, listen, I'm going to organize this thing. I don't have any idea what I'm doing. I don't know how to draw people. We have a list of thousands of people on our email list, many of them probably in your area. And what we need is a place where we can come and do a huddle. That's what we want to be able to do. And so I expect to hear from some of you today. Say, Coach, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. Come to Atlanta. Let's get a date and come to Atlanta. It'll be warm down there. It's a regional event. We'll draw people from Atlanta. We'll come to Mississippi and draw people from the Mississippi area. But you are going to have to step up and get some skin in the game. Now, I'm going to promise you this. It's not going to cost you any money. We will we'll provide the funds if we have to rent a building, food, whatever we have to do, we will do that. But it is we're running out of time. Come on. We're running out of time. We got to get organized, dudes. Do that. We got to get organized. All right. Come on. I'm with you. Okay. Let me go on here. Anybody want to throw something in there? Anybody want anything they want to say about that?
Yeah, we are out of time, Coach. Islam is forcing its way into our very fabric of society more and more every single day. We can't wait to wake up the masses. We've got to find those that are already awake and mobilize.
Amen. And anybody who's been around knows that's what I do. I motivate. What I do. Coach Dave, I'm live. Amen. I motivate. So I want to help build a team around you. And see, we went to where did we go? Long Island. And then the team, there's nobody there to head it up. So we got some exciting things going on with the Salt and Light Brigade, and Chad Estes is going to take a more active role in building that brigade for us, building different chapters around. We're running out of time. The left is mobilizing. The left is getting organized. And we're a little bit short. David and Cynthia are coming to our house today. Michelle and I are so excited about it. The weather's going to be good. We may take them out on a boat ride. Yeah, I'm a multimillionaire, and we got a boat, a little float boat. What do they call those little pontoon boat? We're going to go out and spend some time on the lake and eat a hamburger and just fellowship. So we're excited they're coming. And Lexi's with us, and we're going to get Lexi up here in a second. She's Lexi. Went 17-year-old Lexi went and visited her pastor. How about that? How many of you have had the courage to be able to do that? We got that story coming up here in a minute. I'm looking over here what I got going on. And then Don Paxson. Some of you guys don't even – Don's in the queue every day. He's in the queue every day. And, I see Don in the queue every day, and I'd never really met Don before. Don shows up in Long Island. Come to be part of the event. Been saving money or whatever, sacrificed some money to come and be part of it. And I wasn't aware that Don, you know what? Everybody has a story, don't they? And we all have a story. All have a story to tell about your journey and how you got where you got. And Don shows up and he had a story, and I didn't know he had a story. He's in the queue every day, a faithful contributor in the queue every day. And I met him face to face, and he begins to tell me some of the stuff that's going on in his life. My head's spinning. I'm thinking, what? On and on and on. And he has a story he wants to tell about what happened with him in Long Island. I'm going to say this again really nicely. There's an event near you. Get your butt there. Listen to me. That's where we network. And in Long Island, it was very, very expensive in Long Island. I had Don Paxson came, Vinny, Big Vinny showed up. Gary went with me, my wife, Sandy Ashley, David Arthur. I'm probably forgetting somebody. I don't think I am, but I probably am. And see, it is so important when we go to these events that we have guys with Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt. A cross hat on, it makes us look, shows what we are. And people to talk to, and you connect with people, and say, oh, you're part of that too? Yeah, I'm part of that too. Yeah, yeah. So, there's a lot going on, I understand. But, folks, we're burning daylight here. We're burning daylight. So, Vinny and Don Paxson, they went to Montauk yesterday. I talked about Montauk last week. Don was dealing with spiritual issues all weekend. And it was a great weekend for him. Don, come on and tell us what happened, man.
Well, it started when I was 9 years old. We lived in a house that just had spirits in it. And me and my brother and sister were being attacked. I was getting it the worst. I was getting bruises on me, scratches. Things were moving around in the house. Doors were slamming. And one of the apparitions appeared as my grandfather, who had died several years before that.
But hang anyway. Hang on, Don. See, some of you right now want me to put on my tinfoil hat. I'm not going to do that because I'm telling you, L.A. Marzulli, hang on, Don. L.A. Marzulli, when he did his presentation, said he asked this question. He said, how many of the people in this room have experienced seeing something in the sky, an experience in your room, in your house? How many people have personally witnessed and experienced some type of supernatural thing in your life? And every hand in the room, well, nearly every hand in the room. And the LA made the point, and as, are your pastors talking about this? This stuff is going on everywhere. Are your pastors talking about it? Of course not, because they're not equipped to deal with what we would call the supernatural. Go ahead, Don. Don, I said all that so that you guys don't think Don's a nut. I had at least five conversations with people with similar stories with Don when I was in Long Island. Go ahead, Don.
So it happened throughout the years, and it just wasn't as bad. But when I got to the hotel, I had a weird dream.
In Long Island, you get to the hotel. In Long Island, Don lives down in Florida. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. But I get to the hotel, I had a weird dream the first night I was there that there was a guy outside a window. It was a bug out situation. I cranked open the window. It was one of those old crank windows that opened outward. And to help the guy inside the building, he grabbed me by the upper part of the arm, and I grabbed him in the same place. And then his twin appeared on the roof on the other side, and I had a feeling that something wasn't right. So I let go of the guy, backed up. The next morning, I woke up, went to take a shower, and I saw a bruise on my arm. And
folks, well, I don't know if you're getting this. Don's having this dream that this is happening to him. He's looking out the window, cranking the window, looking out the window in his dream, and he wakes up the next morning. There's a bruise on his arm. Remember he said somebody grabbed him? He wakes up the next morning, there's a bruise on his arm. Go on, Don.
And I also found out later that day there was a bruise on my leg also. I don't know where that came from. But anyways, later that Saturday, I went upstairs to the room and went and got drops in my eyes because my eyes were dry. And the bathtub turned on and a stream of water came on by itself when I was getting ready to leave the room. That really shook me because it reminded me of
it. Go ahead.
So I got downstairs and I was shaking like a leaf, and I went into the room when LA was doing his presentation, and I was sitting in there praying, and finally Gary and Taylor took me outside and prayed over me, put hands on me, and that energy that went through me went from my head to my toes down to the ground. And the next morning I woke up and I had
sound waves. Are we connecting? Waves, Mark Trump, you listening? Energy went through him. Waves went through him. Go ahead, Dave. Or go ahead, Don.
The next morning I woke up, I felt a burning on my shoulder, and Gary looked, and there were scratches on me, on my right hand, right
Gary,
side
Gary
of my
took
shoulder.
A picture of it, by the way, folks. Gary took a picture of it. Gary ain't no nut. He took a picture of the scratches on Don's back.
And Ben said it during at 3 o'clock in the morning, about 3:15, I was rebuking something in my sleep, which I don't remember, and I usually remember my dreams. But anyways, I went when I took a shower that morning, that burning got worse. It just was like poison in my system. So when I went down to the pool and got baptized, the burning went away. And the whole day, everything just started to change. And when we got up to Montauk on the way, we was going through this wooded area, and I could feel this dark.
They all rode a bus up to Montauk, and I talked about Montauk a little bit last week. So Don's there with his buddy Vinny. They go to Montauk together, and they get on. It's a tour, yada, yada, yada. So go ahead, Don. You're walking into the woods or whatever.
We were driving through, and I just had this, could feel this really strong darkness, and I was just praying for everybody's safety on the bus. And when we got up to the Montauk and got off the bus, I was told that was an area where there was all these sacrifices and voodoo, or not voodoo, but witchcraft was going on. I had no idea, but I prayed for everybody's safety up there. And when we got to Hero Point, Sandy, Pam, and I prayed together, and I prayed that the souls and the darkness would be released. And when we got there, the sea was really choppy. It was cloudy. And after we did the prayer, I felt this energy going through me.
There it is again, Mark. Energy going through him.
It was really strong energy. I've never felt anything like that. And Pam and Sandy said they could see it going through me. And then when I opened my eyes, the sea got calm and the sun came out. And that energy just kept going through me as I was walking back to the bus. It was incredible. I've never felt anything like that. So I know it was the Holy Spirit. Now I know what I'm supposed to do.
Which is what, Don?
Fight the demonic.
Fight the demonic.
Yeah.
Fight the demonic. Isn't that what we spoke about yesterday, folks? Huh? With the John Ramirez, and what would an exorcism look like? What would if you were casting out devils, what would it look like? Familiar spirits. There's so much we could there's so much we could learn about the spiritual world that we don't know about. And isn't it funny and isn't it sad that you pick up the scriptures and you read the scriptures and Jesus is constantly dealing with the demonic world. And then we get into modern day Christianity and we don't even talk about it. Oh, we talk about the devil's after your finances and the devil's after your health. But we don't talk about the fact that probably right there in the church, there are all kinds of evil spirits that are lurking around people. People who are being influenced. I'm not saying possessed, influenced by evil spirits. We're losing our children. We don't understand the transference of spirits. We don't understand generational curses and generational. We don't understand any of that. And when we start talking about that, then we get laughed off the table. You ready? Because we say, oh boy, that's tinfoil hat. Folks, I want you to know something. That's more real than reality. It's more real than reality, this stuff. And I'm going to confess, I'm not an expert in it. I'm not. I watched Don Paxson all weekend, and there was something on him. I'm telling you, there's something on that guy all weekend. And I felt really, really bad because I said, man, this ain't what Obama said is above my pay grade. And I don't know what it was, but I could watch. So the average thing is you look at him, you say, well, here, you ready? He's in depression. He is whatever. He's mentally ill. I didn't think that, Don. But what are the excuses that you get when you understand somebody's suffering from something? What the last thing we think of, boy, he's got demonic oppression. Something is oppressing him. That's the last thing that we think of. It's always some mental health. Get him some drugs and give him this pill and you let him go talk to this guy. And we never talk about the reality of it's a spiritual condition. I'm going to learn more about it. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to get to know Russ Dizdar more and more because when I took that video of that exorcism, I don't want to call it exorcism, casting out that demon. When I took that video of that, I want to get as close as I could. I want to do that. And as we read yesterday, the Bible says, and those who believe in my name will do what? What's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to cast out devils. It's the first thing it said.
Amen, Coach.
They're going to cast out devils. What does that mean? What does that mean in modern America? They're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, is Jesus a liar? Why would Jesus? Okay. Boy, did I hear that one from the Holy Spirit. Woo! Thank you. Holy Spirit just said to me, wow. The Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to read more about me casting out devils than you'll ever read about the rapture. That's what it just said to me. That's what I just heard. Casting out demons is all through the New Testament, all through the Old Testament. Rapture, you got to dig and how to hide this scripture and this scripture and pull this scripture and this. Maybe you can get to the rapture. But what do we focus on most in the church? Not casting out devils, I promise you that.
Mic drop.
See, you don't understand. I just heard that. Okay? I can't explain. Jared, let's go to 2 Timothy. Thanks, Don. Bless you, man. Hey, and then you know what? When you get set free, you got to want to stay free. Whatever stuff you were doing to let that stuff come into your life, you got to quit doing that. You got to stay free. Eye gate, ear gate, your senses, what you watch, what you do, who you talk to. Got to be careful. Everything around you, those disembodied spirits are trying to get inside you. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I know I'm not. Those disembodied spirits are trying to get in you, to influence you. They got a hold of some guy named Kyle Mantis, obviously. Mantilla with that guy at Right Wing Watch, he's being influenced by demons like I can't even believe. And he looks at us, thinks we're nuts, and he writes stuff about how stupid we are. Is that something? Is that the pot calling the kettle black? See, he don't have any idea. Those guys don't have any idea. And can I tell you this? Your pastor, I hate to tell you, doesn't have any idea. If you went to your pastor and told your pastor that story that Don just told us, what would your pastor do? Huh? Better go see a doctor, Don. Get some antidepressants. That's what you need. You need to take some drugs, Don. I'm preaching better than you guys are amening. Truth. Telling you the daggone truth.
Amen, Coach. You're right.
And I ain't putting on my tinfoil hat. We look around, we see the demonic everywhere. Everywhere we look, we see it.
By the
we
way,
acknowledge what it is, and we got power and victory over, and we're supposed to be casting out devils and laying hands on the sick, and we're not doing either one of those. When we lay hands on the sick, we hope they get healed. Oh, I hope it works.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, most of the pastors that were there were just run off.
Yes, sir. They can talk about demons, but they don't know how to deal with them. I'm in 2 Timothy. Did I say that?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Before you go to 2 Timothy, you just said something a second ago that's a mic drop moment more than the mic, as much as the mic drop you noticed. And, you know, okay. Jesus, he dealt with the demonic all the time. And he dealt with it as it came across his path. He had the authority and the power to stand right there in the middle of Jerusalem and cast the whole problem. He had the power to do away with the problem, but he didn't. God, you know, God told his own son, because God told Jesus everything to do. Jesus informed us of that. God did not tell Jesus to fix the whole problem, because, see, part of the problem out there is how God determines, and how it is a situation whereby we can, with our free will, serve God and worship him. You can't do that of your own free will if there is no opposition. So let's be like Jesus. Let's face the demons as they come into our influence, our oikos. But let's don't pretend that we're going to be better or more than Jesus, and we're going to go out there and fix the whole demonic world around us. That, if that was God's will, he could have taken care of it a long time ago.
Well, he did take care of it. All power is given unto you, both in heaven and unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. So he transferred the authority and the power to us. He's done what he's going to do. And now all authority has been given unto us. We go do it.
Otherwise, you're going to have to rip out Ephesians chapter 6, brother. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, demons, and rulers in high places. And then he tells us to put on the armor of God and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
And we preach it, we read it, we talk about it. We put on the armor sometimes, but we don't.
Coach, it's like going to a football game. We'll go to the game, we'll watch it from the stands, but we refuse to go to the playing field.
Amen. We'll go to practices, will we, brother? Let me get moving here. I got Lexi getting ready to get up in here. I have to share this with you. I hope you recognize what you're about to see is the Holy Spirit. I hope you do. Jared, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think I already said that. So I gotta find on my screen where Jared is. There he is. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time's going to come, boys, when they're not going to listen to this stuff. They're not going to listen to it. They're going to talk about demons, but they're not going to have any power authority over them. They're not even going to really. We want to see anybody else have any power authority over them. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they're going to turn away their ears from the truth, turn their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. In other words, taking spiritual, real spiritual demonic warfare and making it about money. That'd be turning it to fables, wouldn't it? Well, watch you in all things, endure affliction. Endure affliction. So there must be afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Wow, we ought to look up that word. And make full proof of your ministry. Make full proof of your ministry. Not just talking to the pastor. Y'all have a ministry, folks. Y'all have one. That's part of our problem. We have a professional ministry. Class, what do they call them? We're the laity. They are the, I don't even care what they are. It's supposed to be us. So Jared, I was reading that. Go to Webster's for me, Jared. It's right on the thing. You can click right on it. I was reading those words. I was thinking about this yesterday as well. Just go share the love of Jesus. Love of Jesus. Love this. Love all. Forgive them, brother. Just love them. Tolerate and be tolerant. Oh, open hearts, open doors, open minds. That would all be good, except you don't find that in the scriptures. Why don't you find that in the scriptures? You find this, reprove. So I looked it up. Reprove. Three things that Paul told us to do. He said, reprove. Okay, so Lord, what's that mean? Well, it means to blame or to censor, to charge with a fault to the face, to chide, to reprehend, to blame for, with, of, as, to convince of a fault, or to make it obvious, manifest, to refute, to disapprove of the behavior, to excite a sense of guilt. The heart of conscience reproves us, to manifest silent disapprobation or blame. That's what it means to reprove. That ain't a pleasant word. You correct them. You point it out face to face. Stop that, dude. Stop that, you wicked man. Isn't that what it says? Luke 3:19. Click on that, Jared. What's that say? Luke 3:19. It pops up. Says, but Herod the Tetrarch being... I got to move this thing. How do I move? There it is. Herod the Tetrarch being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which Herod had done. In other words, our good friend Johnny B. Good, the Baptist, went to face to the king and said to him, hey, dude, you are in rebellion. That's showing the love of Jesus. So that's to reprove. Okay, well, let's go to rebuke, because that's the next word. Rebuke. That's another really nice word that you they tell you that if you do that in the church, you're not very Christian. It means to chide, to reprove, to reprehend for a fault, to check by reproof, to check or restrain. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, to chasten, to punish, to afflict for correction, to check, to silence, to check, to heal, to restrain, to recall, to calm. He rose and rebuked the winds. To rebuke is a noun, a chiding, reproof of fault, reprehension. In scripture, chastisement, punishment, affliction for the purpose of restraint, correction. In low language, any kind of check. To suffer, rebuke, to endure the reproach and persecution of men. Okay, so there we got reprove means to correct them. To rebuke them means to continue to chide them and get them to stop doing what they're doing. Stop that. Stop killing babies. Stop that. And the last one was an exhort. Whew, now I feel better. Oh, let's go to exhort, Jared, because this certainly is encouraging, right? It certainly is encouraging. Oh, no, it isn't. Huh. To incite by words or advice. To animate or urge by arguments to a good deed or to a laudable conduct or course of action. To exhort somebody, you point out where they're wrong and exhort them, encourage them to do the right thing. Exhort them just doesn't mean encourage them. I'll keep trying, brother. Keep going. No, no, no. To exhort servants to be obedient to their master, to advise, to warn, to caution, to incite or stimulate to exertion. Exhort. Exhort. Reprove. Rebuke. And exhort. You do that in today's Christian world, they'll say you're full of hate and who are you to judge? And boy, the devil's been tricky. So that brings me to Lexi. You guys all know Lexi, 17-year-old Lexi down in Houston, Texas. I'm going to set the scene here, Lexi, and then we'll let you go here a little bit. Lexi went to her church, dad's church, big church, four campuses, she told me, big church. And she went to the church and she heard the pastor preach a sermon on child sacrifice, offering the children to Baal. And he made a statement during the sermon, well, at least we're not doing that today. And of course, Lexi's a pro-life warrior, 17-year-old pro-life warrior. And her hair stood up on the back of her neck saying, what do you mean we don't do that today? What do you mean we don't sacrifice our children today? So little 17-year-old Lexi gets on the phone and calls the church office, says, I want to talk to the pastor. You're getting this picture, aren't you? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So Lexi said, something's wrong here. I'm going to go meet with that guy. And she got a meeting. Can you believe that? Can you believe it? Come on in here, Lexi. Tell the story.
All right. Yeah. So I called them and then they said I could come in a few days later or the next day. So the first question I asked him was, well, I said, you said that in this culture today, we do not offer our children up to Baal. We do not do child sacrifice. Because he was explaining to everybody that, in the Bible, whenever they would, like, other religions would sacrifice their children, he said that we never do that. So it's hard for us to relate to that. And so I was like, well, I already wanted to talk to them before this, but that gave me, like, a good thing to, like, call them, because I called them and asked, oh, I just have a few questions about your sermon on Sunday. So, yeah, so he let me come in. And
you know, see, he ain't ready for this, is he? He ain't ready for this. Yeah. And let me tell you, there's something wrong with the system. You have to make an appointment to your pastor. Big church. Keep going, Lexi. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So I said to him, well, we do this through abortion. We're offering our children up to abortion. And he said, well, that's not the same thing as what they used to do, because it's not about religion. People aren't aborting their children for religious reasons. So that's why I didn't say anything there. And also, I didn't say anything there because I didn't want to skim it over, because it is such a big subject. So I didn't really want to just put it out there. And also, the other reason why I didn't do it was...
You picked your fight.
I'm sorry?
You picked your fight. You wanted to fight on your turf, right? You didn't You didn't fight on turf. Keep going. I'll shut up.
So he said, the other reason was he wants to have, it's not a good idea to have a sermon in front of people, to, like, a lot of people about abortion, because it's really a one-on-one conversation you should have. So at that, it kind of set the tone for the rest of the meeting, and the rest of the meeting was basically what you would think. Every single thing I said to him, he would come back with something like that, which made no sense really. So I said to him, I said, well, you can't have a one-on-one conversation with everybody at this church. Like, you've never talked to me before. So how would I, if I had an abortion, or if I was going to have an abortion, know if abortion was wrong? And so he came and he came back with that. And he said that sharing the gospel is what changes hearts. So that's why in every service they share the gospel. So if you believe in the gospel, you're automatically not going to have an abortion. But he openly admitted that, yes, people in the congregation have had abortions, and he doesn't want to openly speak about it because they either feel guilty about it and shameful about it, or they have not come to the realization that is a sin to murder your child, and he does not want to do that to them.
Folks, you understand this? Hang on a minute. Lexi, he told you he doesn't speak about abortion because there are women who've had abortions and have never really dealt with the guilt.
Yes, or they don't even think it's a sin or a baby, so he doesn't want to cover it at all. Because it may offend them, Coach. It may offend their feelings. He will not say anything about it. So, that's what I started
You told me, Lexi, that every time you brought a point up to the pastor, you used scripture.
Yes.
Every time. Every time you made a point, you provided scripture for why you were making the point. And you said that he never answered the scripture.
No. So the night before, I wrote, like, scripture. I wrote all the key points. I wrote multiple scriptures down on a notebook and everything, so I brought that in just if you wanted to like read it word for word or whatever. So I had that, and then I had, you know, off of my top of my head whenever I was just speaking to him. So I would bring up anything and I would use scripture, and he would have no response, and all he would be is like, yeah, or he would change the whole conversation to like a different topic, or just start saying the weirdest things that make no sense with what we were talking about. So I was talking to him about abortion, and I was saying the church, y'all need to step in and y'all need to do something about abortion, and not be silent anymore. The church is has really done nothing to stop abortion, and the church has been silent. And then whenever I said that, he starts like, no. And I said, yes, the church has been silent. I cut him off kind of, so I guess I was kind of mean to do that. But I said, yes, the church has been silent, because if whenever Roe versus Wade was passed, if every single church, or every single preacher told their congregation to go stand out at the abortion clinic, or go like spend a Saturday or whatever, every single church in America, abortion would be ended that day. And then he like had nothing to say, and he just like sat back in his chair.
What was his opinion about you going to the clinics? Because you told him that. What was his opinion of people going to the clinics?
He does not like that. He hated that. So he showed me, I started telling him, so I thought he thought it would be like good. I didn't know he hated that at all. But so I started telling him, I was like, you can be preaching outside the abortion clinic. You can be holding up a sign. You can do sidewalk counseling. You can do anything there. And then I drew this. I don't know if anybody can see that. He draws this for me on the whiteboard. It's like, here's a circle, there's a triangle, here's the river. At the bottom of the river, you have holding up signs. This is how you this is how you evangelize everybody, okay? So if you're wondering how to evangelize, how to win souls, do this, okay?
Here's his plan to do it, right?
Yes.
This is his plan. And you're doing it all wrong, Lexi. Here's the plan.
I'm about to find that out. So... Yeah, so
bring it a little closer. Bring it a little closer so we can see it. There,
so
right there.
This is hell. The triangle is hell, and this is heaven. The circle is heaven. So the first mark would be holding up signs. The second mark would be street preaching. The third mark would be going door to door evangelism. The fourth mark, would be having close relationships with your friends and talking to them about God. And then your last one is the church preaching the gospel in the church. So,
Coach, I have to interject and ask Lexi if she ever has a follow-up, because she said something. It's such a forked tongue response is that, well, there might be women who've had an abortion and we don't want to offend them because they're not quite sure. Then ask them, do you preach on homosexuality? Preach on adultery or fornication? Because there's people in the church that are probably doing that. If you do that, you might hurt their feelings.
That's funny you said that, because I did bring that up. Well, he actually brought that up. So later on, I was like, well, you should do like a full sermon against abortion. And he said, well, there's only 52 weeks in the year. I can't preach against everybody's passion, because he said it was my passion. And he said, you can't preach against all sins. Like, I'm not going to do a full sermon on homosexuality, which they have done one in the past and they got a lot of backlash. So they will not preach against homosexuality like that ever again. Or is that's at least what they said, because there's people literally, homosexuals walking into the church hand in hand, sitting like literally, and nobody said anything. Nobody says anything. Whenever I saw that, like when it was obvious, like I saw that was like a few years ago when I saw, or last year, just two ladies holding hands. It was so weird.
Lexi,
Lexi, please, little sister, please, Lexi, run for your spiritual life and get hell out of there.
I don't choose to go there.
Please tell us, what is the denomination of that church?
It's non-denominational.
Lexi, four campuses, right, Lexi? This is a big church.
Yeah, four or five campuses.
This isn't some little Baptist church on the corner, right?
Is it a community church?
Yes.
Did they have community in the name?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they are part of the CUIC movement, and that movement has agreed there's other saviors other than Jesus Christ.
Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, coach. Hey, coach, yes. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd. I've
been to that church. I first went to that church 20 plus years ago, and that church is modeled after Willow Creek. As a matter of fact, they had Bill Hybels come down to the church when they first opened their new building to consecrate the new building or something. I don't know. He came down and had some big old speech, and they propped him up on the pedestal. So yep. they are extremely seeker friendly, and they will not talk anything about anything that would offend anybody. And they've been doing that for 20 years.
You know what? Rob Pugh just put in the comment section, does the name of it have river in it or creek or anything like that? That's pretty true, isn't it? Or community. Hey. I mean, it is amazing. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Coach, yep. She answered the ultimate. When he said, I can't preach on everybody's thing, it's my passion. That right there, that's not a gospel church, because he's preaching his passion and not the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody else?
Amen.
Questions, Alexi? Questions? Because, I mean, she could tell us more, but, I mean, you guys can ask some good questions, I'm sure.
We're gonna do a fundraiser. We're going to get her a good pair of running shoes. I've put that in the comment section because she needs to run, and she needs to run fast, and she needs to run far.
Oh, doesn't she need to stay there and just continue to be light and salt there? Isn't that really what she should do?
Well, she'll get plighted. She'll get pelted. She'll get ostracized. But I don't know about the other.
Lexi, how did it end, Lexi? How did it end, the meeting?
Well, it ended with him saying we do combat abortion. We combat it by the best way possible, and that is by having relationships with people.
Yeah, there
and,
you go.
Sexual
relationships, I assume.
Yeah, and preaching the gospel in the church. They said they will not go outside the church. They will not street preach. They will not go to any abortion clinic, because we will look like the Westboro Baptist Church. And more people would be turned away from God than to him. And he openly admitted that a lot of the people in his church don't actually believe in the gospel, and he is not going to do anything about it. So really ended. And he just sent me over to this thing that they do to serve the community. It's only in adult small groups, which I'm not even an adult, so I can't even join that, and I would not want to join that. But that's the only other way they actually serve and go out to the communities, is through their small groups.
Lexi, Ray LeBlanc just asked, do they serve donuts and coffee in the mornings?
They do, sir.
Tell him that you've really been thinking about his statement that they don't want to look like Westboro Baptist Church, and they don't want to be associated with things like that. Tell him, you know, I have a neighbor that would not write a check on their bank account because they had a friend that got in jail for writing a bad check. Even though they had $1 million in their bank account, they wouldn't write a check because their friend had this experience. Well, since you want to be like the, you know, you don't want to be like the Westboro Baptist Church, and that's kind of related, why don't you just give me all the money in your bank account, because you really shouldn't write any checks, because there are people that go to jail for writing bad checks, so you should never write a check.
Man, that's always their excuse. Listen, I'm not trying to wrap it up. Lexi, awesome job. I got to get this in at the end of the show here for this whole thing to make sense. Lexi, God bless you, dear. You've got more courage, more chutzpah than 95% of Christian men in America. And I salute you and everything that you do. And daggone, Dale, let's get her some running shoes. Running shoes.
Way to go, Lexi. Way to go.
It's not by my choice. I'm there. Please don't hate me. It's not my choice.
I got you, dear. Bless. Thanks, Lexi.
Great thanks. Job, Lexi.
Hey, Chad, pull up real quick. Pull up Cecilia. Folks, I know some of you have seen this, but I really want to kind of end this. Stop. Hey, folks, listen. You got to help me. Stop that. You got to help me. You've got to forward stuff. You have to, when we get really good stuff, you got to forward it. You got to post it. You got to push it. I'm fighting hard enough against the algorithms and the YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff. I'm going to play a short clip from when we were with the pathologist this week, and most of you have seen it. Some of you haven't. But I want to show you just a brief clip of this to put it in perspective what's going on in abortion, why Lexi gets it and her pastor doesn't. And this is the video that I made briefly, fast, the lighting's not good. The position of the camera isn't good, but I wanted to get this thing out as quickly as we could. We've had over 20,000 views on Facebook. It ought to have 1 million views. It ought to have 10 million views. We've got to force this thing out. I created a YouTube out of it so you can share the YouTube. But Jared, go to about the 4-minute and 40-second mark and start. Just, I want you folks to listen to this. This is a doctor, a pathologist who deals with the babies after they've been aborted. All right. She's not giving us her name, although I know it. She's not telling us the hospital, although I know it. She's not telling us the university, although I know it. Trust me, this is going on and we're going to hear more from her. But Jared started about the 4-minute and 40-second mark, folks. And just listen to this. This is what's going on.
Graduate medical school and
while the troops sleep.
You have to go get specific training, specialized training in a field. So my field was pathology. I thought I would be receiving cancer specimens and looking at them under the microscope, which is my main job. I diagnose cancer. But what I didn't realize and what they don't really tell you in medical school is that all the abortion specimens come to pathology.
The specimen is a body.
Yeah, it's a body. It's a baby in a bucket. It's a depending on the age of the baby and if there is a malformation or genetic mutation, an anomaly, they will perform the abortion differently. Like if they want, most of the time it's just they go in there and you receive a baby floating in its own blood in pieces, just little body parts and pieces.
And you have to pull those out and piece them together.
We have a colander, we have a strainer that we use over the drain, and you dump the parts out, and then so the blood goes down the drain, and then you pick with your forceps, you pick the body parts out, and you sit, you look for the foot size, you look to see if you can identify the sex. And the foot size is because it measures the week of development.
So hang on, folks. She was an atheist.
Oh yeah.
She was an atheist when this is what a story this is. So she's a doc. She's doing this pathology, and they're bringing in these little buckets of babies, and she's doing this, and she's an atheist. Yet something's going on in your heart.
Well, I always knew my husband was a Christian. I was an atheist for 20 years. And when he married me, he knew the saving grace in me was that before I ever had to see a specimen, before I knew that I would have to deal with this horror, I knew that abortion was murder. I was like, oh no, hearing pro-choice, that's a euphemism. Anytime you use a euphemism, it's and you're trying to cover something up. Like
You don't call abortion, you call it choice because you don't want to call it abortion.
Yeah, you don't want to call it murder. You don't want to call it pro-death. But in medical school, I mean, they walk us through embryogenesis. You know that the basics of it, from 4 to 8 weeks, you have organ development. So all the internal organs are being prepared. By 8 weeks, you have a heartbeat, and then you call it a fetus after that. But you have a little baby, even at 8 weeks, sometimes you don't, it's too ripped up to see it, but sometimes you do. And the jar that it comes in, can see the little baby. And then once you get, 12 weeks, 14 weeks, you...
It's a baby doll.
Oh, it's totally. Yeah, it's not a blob. And we know that.
So here you are. You're an atheist. You don't really believe in right and wrong. It's kind of an opinion, right?
Well, I mean...
You're a moral person.
I'm horrified by the... I could consciously say no. They're killing babies. But I wasn't going to fight it. It wasn't something that really I thought about a lot. But I was a new mom too. I'd given birth to a baby as a fourth year medical student, and I wasn't really ready to have a child. It was a surprise for us that we got pregnant, and the first night I was like, what are we going to do? How am I supposed to get through medical school? How am I supposed to do this and have a job and raise a baby? And but then immediately, that was one night that I thought that it was 2 a.m. that I took the pregnancy test. And then the next after that, immediately super excited, just my son, he's wonderful. It's so wonderful to have and experience this.
And then they're bringing in these little babies in buckets.
Oh yeah, so I've got a 6-month baby at home. I get this baby in a bucket, and I just, what the? You want me to do what?
The doctors know that's a baby. They know that thing's alive.
Anyone that's performing an abortion knows it because they see it. They see in the ultrasound. They see the arms. And they saw it off, and they put it in the bucket. They see. Sometimes, if they want to preserve the body and not rip it up, they will inject. It's potassium.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, right now if you're watching this on YouTube or on Facebook, share this video right now. You can hit a little button down there, share it, so everybody in your feed's seeing this. I'm sorry, but I want a lot of people to hear this, all right?
They'll do it in the back of the head. So, and that's to preserve, like, the one case I had where the baby had meningomyelocell. It's like spina bifida, but it's really bad. It's where the spinal cord and the meninges actually stick out there. So if they want to preserve the body so that you can look at the pathology, they'll inject in the back of the head, and then you have a full formed fetus.
But they're killing these babies, not because they're sick.
No. That's the they call, so the terminology we use, this is how sick our society has gotten, and everyone else, all my other co-residents, they see nothing wrong with it. They are still heavily pro-choice. They deal with it. And the cognitive dissonance, that's a baby. You're picking up baby parts. One of them darkly calls them baby puzzles as part of their job. Mm. And it's just, they still go out to the marches. But here I am, a brand new mom, knowing it's murder,
Not a believer.
I was an atheist. I had to pick. They had their little fists are clenched and their little faces are ripped up and they have a look of pain on their face and their little bodies and their little lives and their little eyeballs are floating. And this is a job? You expect me to do this? And
Jared, you can stop it there. Man, if you haven't seen that testimony, it's powerful. And we're going to get her on the show. She's agreed to come on the show. She's doing it. She's doing it at a great risk. She's still in residency. She's got about 3 or 4 months, and then she'll be officially a doctor out on her own. But this is a brave, brave woman. And Lexi, you need to take this video and go show it to your pastor. We all need to share this with our pastors. We all need to share this with people who are uncomfortable to let them know these lies, that it's a blob of tissue. It doesn't feel pain. It doesn't have a heartbeat. She goes on to tell me she could see the little ovaries inside these little babies.
Amen.
Powerful, powerful stuff. Amen. Yeah, I could go on and on and on. God bless Lexi. God bless Don. God bless the doc here. God bless everybody who's standing up and fighting and pushing back. God bless all of you out there trying to make a difference. God bless David Arthur, Rob Pugh, and Don, and just got, hey folks, we're running out of time. Now's the time we got to get organized. We want to come to your town. somebody at the end of this show, go to email, say, Coach, come down here. We need this down here. Help us, folks. Help us financially. Help us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.